Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning. As we move forward through the magnificent and awesome Word of God. And today's word is simply this: do not walk in fear, for the Lord thy God goes before you. I say it again. Do not walk in fear, for the Lord thy God goes before you. As we know, we're about to finish the book of Numbers this morning and go into Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is that reminder book. It tells you all the things to this in Leviticus. And now we're in Numbers, about to finish it up. And I just want to go over an overview of Deuteronomy, because it is an extremely important book. It's the last book of the law, the last book written by Moses before the entry into the promised land in the book of Joshua. And this is what the overview says. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel while they were still beyond, that is, on the east side of the Jordan River, in the wilderness across from Jerusalem, in the Arabah, the long, deep valley running north and south from the eastern arm of the Red Sea to beyond the Paran and Truffle and Lebanon and Hazeroth and Dezahah, places of gold. It is only 11 days' journey from Herabit, Mount Sinai, by way of Mount Sur, to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. Yet Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing the border and entering Canaan, the promised land. Did you hear that? 11 days. 11 days. An 11-day journey took 40 years. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded him to say to them after he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth, in Israel, beyond east of the Jordan in the land of Moab. Moses began to explain this law, saying, the Lord your God spoke a long enough on this mountain. Turn and resume your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland. And as we go through this word, we understand that they were there. You think about this. An 11-day journey that takes you 40 years. Because of your disobedience. And I was getting, I'm sorry, y'all. I got the commentary on Deuteronomy from the Battlefield of the Mind, a Bible by George Myers. But the issue is to just say 11 days turns into 40 because of disobedience. How many times has something that shouldn't take hardly any time seem to take forever? Like, say, getting your college degree. You started at 18, but you don't get it until you're 58 years old. 40 years to get your college degree because children come, you get married, you have a family, you get a job, all these things. So you go a little bit, then you quit because you have a baby. You go a little bit longer, then you quit because you have a baby, or you go a little bit longer, you quit because you go, you're working and you have a family and you have this, you have that. And so it takes you until you're almost 60, because that's about it. You think about it. Those children that were 20 to 60, 20 years old, when all the rebellion and all this stuff started, they were 60 and on the cusp of being able to get in, and they don't make it because they were 20 years old during the rebellion. And he told them anyone 20 and above would not make it in. 20 and above, you just, let's just say your birthday, you turned 20 on the day just before, get in. Not because of anything you did, but because of your forefathers who didn't know how to act. But your brother or your sister who are 18 and 19, they get to make it in. That is harsh. It seems harsh. But everything is for a purpose and a reason in the Word of God. So let's read it this morning. Let's study it. Let's get into it. This last book of Numbers, getting ready to go into the last book of the law. Deuteronomy is probably one of the most important books in the Word of God. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful and so thankful that you woke me up early this morning to look at our Word, to study our Word, to know that this Word is important to each and every one of us. Father God, I ask you to remove sleep from my spirit, that I will be understood, understandable, and that your Word will go forth in excellence. Lord God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. For you woke me up this morning, clothed in my white mind with a pip in my step. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I know that I know that I know I am blessed to be your daughter. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father God, for you are my strength, and you are my redeemer, for it is in you that I live, I move, and have my being, knowing that you are with me. You go before me. You are always there, guiding and leading for your Son and my Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Giving honor to God and thanking him again for waking me up this morning, because God knows that we want to sleep in. One of these days, I'm going to get to do that. I haven't done it in a long time. Even though I claim Saturday as my sleep-in day, it never seems to happen. But I'm thankful that God woke me up. Because let's call it family. There's somebody that did not wake up this morning. There's somebody who didn't make it to this day. But if you listen to my voice, you did. So please forgive me because I seem to be quite sleepy this morning. But I'm going to do what I've been assigned to do. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of how the enemy will try to put sleep on you, he will try to make you be in pain or whatever he throws at you. You got a cold, you got this, you got that, to try to knock you off your square. You got to do your assignment, whatever your assignment is. We got to be like the post office. Through rain, sleet, and snow, we got to do our job for God. So let's get in this Word. We are in Numbers chapter 35 through Numbers chapter 36, verse 13, and we will be ending the book of Numbers starting today and going into Deuteronomy. And the Word of God says, and the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give the Levites cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possessions. And you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all their animals. The common land of the cities which you will give the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. The city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as common land for the cities. Now, among the cities which you will give the Levites, you shall appoint 6 cities of refuge to which a manslayer may flee. And to these you shall add 42 cities. So all the cities you will give to the Levites shall be 48. These you shall give with their common land. And the cities which you will give shall be from the possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you shall give many, from the smaller you shall give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to the cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally. I want to say that because the word of God tells us in our commandments, thou shalt not kill. And it says, accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have 6 cities of refuge. You shall appoint 3 cities on this side of the Jordan, and 3 cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, till he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. However, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies while he was not his enemy or seeking his heart, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he has fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be a statute of judgment to you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against the person for the death penalty. Did y'all hear that? The witnesses. And the word of God even tells us that one person cannot be a witness against anybody. And this is what he said. Shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses, plural. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And you shall take no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inherit, you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. The Lord dwells amongst us because we're all grafted in. If you are saved, set free, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are grafted in this vine. And the Lord goes before you in all that you do. Don't forget that God is in charge of our life. And Dr. Stanley has given us a life lesson. And so for those just joining this experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. And so when I say life lessons, life questions, they are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley. And the life lesson for this word is coming out of Numbers chapter 35, verse 34. Therefore, do not defile the land, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. We are never to forget that our holy God lives among us. That knowledge alone should shape the way we live. We are accountable to him in every aspect of our life. Whatever you do, whatever you say, know that God is listening and that God is watching. He is always there. He sees you in your good. He sees you in your bad. He sees you in your messy, and he sees you in your clean. He knows everything about you. Don't ever get it twisted that God does not see everything. He sees you cry in the middle of the night. He sees you stepping in and tipping out. He sees it all. God sees you in the club, dropping it like it's hot, and trying to sneak up in the choir stand on Sunday, acting like you're living holy. Come on now. God sees it all. So we got to make sure that whatever we do it for the glory of God. We are in Numbers chapter 36 for those that are just joining us this morning, and I thank you for coming in and joining this vlog today. I appreciate you, and I love you, of the book of Numbers. And it says this, now the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the sons of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses, before the leaders, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord Moses to give the land as an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. Now, if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So their inheritance will be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, What the tribe of the sons of Joseph speaks is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Say, let them marry whom they think best, but they may marry only within the families of their father's tribe. So the inheritance of the children of Israel shall not change hands from tribe to tribe forever. Every one of the children of Israel shall keep their inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be the wife of one of the family of her father's tribe, so that the children of Israel each may possess the inheritance of his fathers. Thus no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep its own inheritance. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad, for Milah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, Noah, and the daughter of Zelophehad, daughters, were married to the sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the families of the children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's family. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by the hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And we read our Psalms and our Proverbs with Mark on Friday. So we will not have Psalms and Proverbs today. We will stay in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and Numbers. And we are starting in Deuteronomy chapter 1. So join me in a new book, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I am excited because we are so close to, y'all know my favorite. Y'all know my favorite, which is Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. Even though it's more strategic, it's about faith. That book got me through so much in my life. The book of Joshua got me through. Joshua chapter 1 is my, if you were talking about music, say that's my jam issue. Whenever I'm having a situation, I go and I read Joshua chapter 1. It does something to just bring me back. It helps my spirit. It grounds me, I guess is what I want to say, because it lets me know that my God is with me wherever I go and that I don't have to worry, that all I have to be is strong and courageous to walk in faith and not in fear. Come on now. And that's this word when we go into Deuteronomy. We have to have faith that our Lord God goes before us, that he will fight our battles. You know, I love, I think it's Anita Wilson, Jesus will. He'll fight your battles, and he does. Our Father God will fight our battles. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is trust and know that Daddy God has got your back. Just like as a child, you know your father's got you. You know, I knew that my godfather had me, whatever was going on, that my godparents and my mother always had my back. Always. That I didn't have to worry about anything because they had my back, and that I didn't have to be afraid because I knew that my godfather would always stand before me if anybody came against me. That's a blessing. That's God. So I thank God every day for blessing me with great parents and an awesome mother. What a blessing. Thanking God today. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And it goes on to say, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Topol, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dezahab. It is 11 days journey. You know, somebody asked me, said, well, where did you get that it was 11 days from Egypt to the promised land? It is right here. And so you can tell, folks, that 11 day comes right there. It's right there in the Word. 11 days. And let's keep it going. It says, now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as a commandment to them, after he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwells in Heshbon, and Or, king of Bashan, who dwells in Ashtaroth and Edoram, on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab. Moses began to explain this law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowlands, in the south and on the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in multitude. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints? Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and knowledgeable men, and made them heads over you, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers for your tribe. Then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment of God too hard for you, bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, come on, we're talking them, that 10 and 2. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God who went in the way before you to search out, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked. Because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Even Moses lost his spot. He lost his place in line. Why? Because of rebelliousness. He rebelled against God. When God said, speak to the rock, he's going to hit it. Because he was so sick and tired of being sick and tired of disobedient people, of folks always complaining and whining about everything. We don't have any meat, so you get meat. We don't have any water, so he gives you water. We don't have this. We don't have that. Oh, we afraid. Now, excuse me. God brought all of you out of Egypt, out of bondage, and you sit and whine and complain. We need to quit whining and complaining and start standing up and saying, for God I live and for God I die. We got to trust in the name of the Lord. And it goes on to tell us in verse 39 of chapter 1 of the book of Deuteronomy, moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, and were ready to go up into the mountains. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountains. And the Amorites who dwelt in the mountains came out against you and chased you as bees do, and drove you back from Ur, from Sir to Arma. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. Don't play with God. We can't play with God. God don't play. We are blessed beyond measure to have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because he is interceding for us every moment, every hour, every second, every millisecond. He is interceding for our sinful selves. And we are blessed because of Jesus. Because of his blood, the Lord God does not do us like he did Israel. He forgives us. Because Jesus has already taken our sins to the cross. We are forgiven Jesus' blood. We are forgiven because of his sacrifice, because we have done nothing to be deserving of the grace that we receive from God, but Jesus. And as we go to the life lessons, it says, choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. Deuteronomy 1:13. The kingdom of God cannot advance as it should without wise, understanding, and knowledgeable leaders. Filled with the Spirit of God, we do not move forward in godliness alone. We need each other. As the song says, I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. We got to pray for each other. We got to lift each other up. We do so much tearing down. We do so much tearing down in what we do. We do so much tearing down and not lifting each other up. We got to learn to lift up, to pray for our brothers and our sisters instead of tearing them down, instead of treating each other horribly. We got to treat each other with the love that comes only from a God. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God, to be grafted in to his kingdom. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for being grafted in. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. We cannot be afraid of the terrors of night. We got to stand on the word of God that he goes before us. He fights for us. In the spiritual realm, God's armies fight for us. And it says, ever since the Garden of Eden, successful tactics has been to get God's people to believe that the Lord is not really loving and gracious. However, the Lord is not only with us, he also goes ahead of us to prepare our way and give us success. All we have to do is follow. Follow the Lord. Follow what he says. Follow his word. Stand on it. Gird up. Put on your full armor of God. And as we continue in our word this morning, chapter 2 of the book of Deuteronomy, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. And when we pass beyond our brothers, the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath and Ezion, Geber, and turned, we pass by way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given earth to the descendants of Lot as a possession. The Emmon had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were all regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emmon. The Hurrites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in the place just as Israel did to the land of their possession which the Lord gave them. Now rise and cross over the valley of Zered. We are crossed over the valley of Zered, and the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of the Zered was 38 years until all the generations of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ur, the boundary of Moab, and when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also as the land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzamim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they disposed them and dwelt in their place, just as he has done for the descendants of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They dispossessed them and dwell in their place even to this day, and the Amim, who dwelt in the villages as far as Gaza, the Tapharaim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I will send messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, who dwell in Ur, did for me until I cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, will not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, and he might deliver him into your hands as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit this land. Then Sihon and all his people came in against us to fight in Jahaz, and the Lord our God delivered him over to us. So we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time, and we utterly destroyed the men and women and little ones of every city. We left none remaining, only the livestock as plunder for ourselves, with the spoil of the cities which we took from Arar, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of Ammon, anywhere along the river Jabbok, or to the cities of the mountains, or forever, or wherever the Lord our God had forbidden. That is a word. Moses is giving a history lesson. And let's look at the life lesson from chapter 2. And it says of Deuteronomy, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Even though Israel ended up in the wilderness because of their disobedience, even their God blessed his people and gave them everything they needed. He tempers even his justice with grace. Thanks be to God who gives us grace, unmerited favor God gives us. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 1. Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Or, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people. and his land into your hand, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Or, king of Bashan, with all his people, and we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining, and we took all his cities. At that time, there was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities, all the region of Arba, Orgob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many ruled towns. And we utterly destroyed them as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as booty for ourselves. And at that time we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, the Sidonese called Hermon Seron, and the Amorites called it Sinar. All the cities of the plain, all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Shelkath and Edrei, Og and Bashan, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was in iron bedstead. It is now not in Rabbah. Of the people of, is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? 9 cubits in its length, and 4 cubits its width according to the standard cubic. And this land which we possessed at that time from Eror, which is by the river Arnon, and half of the mountains of Gilead and its cities, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gittites. The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. All the regions of Orgob with all Bashan was called the land of the giants. Jar, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob as far as the border of the Jezreelites and the Machanites, and called Bashan after his own name, Havoc Jair, to this day. Also I gave Gilead to Makar and to the Reubenites and the Gittites. I gave from Gilead as far as the river Arnon, the middle of the river, as to the border as far as the river Jabbok, the border of the people of Ammon, the plain also with the Jordan as the border from Chinnereth, far as the east side of the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea below the slopes of Pisgah. Then I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, but your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall stay in your cities which I have given you, until the Lord has given rest to your brethren, as to you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Can I say it again? You must not fear them. In other words, we must not walk in fear, for the Lord our God fights for us. Hallelujah. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servants your greatness and your mighty hand, for which God is there in heaven or on earth, who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds. I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this manner. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look. Lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold, it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over the Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people. He shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. So we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor, chapter 4 of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, O Israel, listen to those statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What did it say? It tells us, you shall not add to it. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess, to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgment as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the people under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, and that I would not enter a good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old, in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. We are blessed beyond measure to have a Father God who loves us enough to forgive us, because he doesn't have to, but he does. Why? Because he's merciful and he loves us more than we could ever imagine. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. And as we continue, it says this, for ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and asked from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and lived? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself, there is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who killed his neighbor unintentionally without having hatred to one of these cities he might live. These are is the wilderness to the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead for the Gittites, and Golan and Bashan for the Mennonites. Now this is the way which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Shihon, king of the Amorites, who dwell at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun from Arar, which is on the banks of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the Sea of the Arabah, below the slope of Pisgah. Wow. What a mighty, 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 I'm saying it again, mighty word this morning. A couple of life lessons. Chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 3, life lesson. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. God knew the tremendous obstacles that Joshua and the Israelites would face when conquering the promised land, and so he assured them that he would provide them with victory. They would not conquer in their own strength, but in his. Likewise, no matter what obstacles hinder you, the Lord can overcome it for you. Trust him. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. That's a word by itself. And then life lesson number 2 from chapter 3, verse 26. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. The Bible teaches us to pray and keep on praying and not to give up. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. We may call upon God for any reason at any time regarding any problem or difficulty or challenge. Yet there may come times when the Lord lets us know it is time to stop praying for a particular thing. Moses was praying. He was standing, asking, working toward trying to get in the promised land. But because of his disobedience as a leader, he didn't make it in. Leaders have a big responsibility. They have the biggest responsibility ever because they have to be above reproach all the time. Why? Because they lead God's people. And if a leader falls, everybody falls with them. That's why God instructs leaders to be strong and courageous. Because understand, the enemy is going to attack a leader more than he's going to attack anybody. And Moses failed because he was disobedient. And you think about this. He didn't make it in for being disobedient because he did not show the greatness of God. All he had to do was say, rock, water. Rock produced water in the name of God. The Most High just spoke it and water would have come out. Did he hit it? And he didn't give God glory. And he didn't make it into the promised land. He got to stand and look at it. But just know that when you know that something is within your grasp and you cannot ever have it. Wow. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is consuming fire, a jealous God. The Lord is jealous in this sense that he will not share the heart of his people with anyone or anything else. We belong to him alone. Intimacy with God is the highest priority of our lives, family. And our last thing this morning, and I know we've gone over a little bit, but I had to get all the word in. In a life lesson, chapter 4, verse 31, we will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. We serve a God who is powerful, awesome, mighty, loving, compassionate, and fully worthy of our trust. The Lord never makes a promise he can't keep, and he never forgets the promises he has made. One thing we can trust in everything we do, is the word of God. And that whatever God says he will do, he will do it. Because he's God. Hallelujah. And our last thing is a life question. How does God get your attention? Deuteronomy 4, chapter verses 32 to 40. And it says, a whistle can get our attention quickly. We use it to control unruly behavior, signal the start or finish of an event, or interrupt the action in a game. Regardless of who blows it, a whistle takes tells us to stop and learn why it was blown. What does God use to get our attention? Sometimes he uses the tools of a restless spirit, which might appear as some vague dissatisfaction with life. Other times, God uses another person's words to help us recognize that he is speaking to us. Sometimes he uses the method of unusual blessing, Romans 2 and 4. In each case, we are to stop and ask, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? God sometimes allows our prayers to remain unanswered in order to prompt us to sharpen our focus on him. Or he may say no to our request in order to gain our attention. Occasionally uses disappointments, difficulties, and failures for the same reason. If we are wise, we will quickly seek him out. In tragedies, financial reversals, and physical affliction, God wants to see if we will turn to him and ask, God, are you speaking to me? What does it take for the Lord to get our attention? Will a restless spirit cause us to seek godly counsel? Do we listen when God sends someone to point out his way? When blessings come, do we turn to God and ask him how he would like us to use them? Do we seek God when our prayers go unanswered? How long does it take us to get past our emotions over disappointments, difficulties, and failures to listen to what our Heavenly Father has to say? In times of great financial crisis, tragedy, and sickness, do our eyes and minds lift heavenwardly to seek God's love and wisdom? God deserves our undivided attention. He waits to speak with us, but we keep looking at our circumstances. Allow the events of your life, both the pleasant and the painful, to prompt you to turn to God and ask, Lord, are you asking for my attention? Don't allow yourselves to miss what the Lord wants to tell you. Begin now to train yourself to give him your full attention. Allow what happens in your day-to-day draw you to him. He is waiting for you. God is waiting for each and every one of us. He loves us like that. And all I can say one more time to each of us, to each of you, and to myself, do not walk in fear. And I'm going to put my name in it. Do not walk in fear, Bridget. For the Lord, your God, goes before you. So just lift your hand and say, Lord, I know you go before me. As Jesus took the cross, Lord God, for my sins, I know you go before me to fight my battle. All I have to do, Father, is believe. So I say today, family, believe and know that there is only one God and that he loves you so very, very much. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith, knowing that God is with you. And a word from our sister in Christ this morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18 and 10. Have a blessed Sunday. And the reason why we're safe is because the Lord goes before us. That's all I got this morning. I know we went a little bit over. I say to you today, make sure that you attend a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Keep God first in whatever it is that you are doing. Do not walk in fear, family, for the Lord thy God goes before you. Know that God is in front of you, that it is his light, his grace, his mercy that will sustain you through everything. I thank God today for my blessings, and I take a moment to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, speak to me. In Jesus' name, we lift up, we give honor and glory and praise to the Most High God. As I say to you today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus. I continuously lift you up and I continuously say, don't walk in fear. walk in faith because our Father God goes before us. Be blessed, family. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, knowing that God is that strong tower that you can always run into and be safe. Be blessed and know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we as the children of God are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Join me tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m. Woo, and I thank God for taking all that sleep away. I was so tired when it came on this morning, but God, because I'm revived and rejuvenated right now because this word just took me there. Have a blessed day, family, because I'll be preaching in a minute. So I'm getting ready to go because I got to get ready for church. I love you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Time to go to work, y'all. It's time to go to work. Be blessed. It's a wrap.